Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, I'm Jamie Winstone, and this is my greatest night ever.
We've had some goodies.
And I got into the pool first, because it was a mega party.
We've got my beautiful Princess Julia here.
This is the corner of our little mind, isn't it, Julia?
We have bougie bitches out here.
That's so inspiring.
It's a miracle.
It's so amazing.
Might be raving to that garage tune in the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely.
Greatest night ever, delivered by Zap.
Oh, well, hello, 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 and welcome to Jamie Winstone's Greatest Night Ever. I am excited, I'm ecstatic, and I'm a little bit nervous because I've actually got one of my best friends in today, Miss Melanie Blatt. Hi, I'm Mel from the 90s. Mel Blatt from All Saints, who's also just done MasterChef, who came in second because she's a complete don. And I'm so excited to have her in. But sadly, Princess Julia, where are you off to? You can't be with us today.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got to leave.
Oh, my God.
I've got a very important... I don't know.
Have you got a date? You got a bougie date?
No. I've just got to go somewhere.
Oh, she's busy.
Yeah, I'm doing a spin class.
Oh, she's doing a spin class.
I've got to do some PE.
Yeah, you go and do your PE, get your spandex on and go and get physical.
I'm gutted. I can't join you.
Well, you know what? You know,
it's
Mel.
Evening.
On this greatest night ever.
On this greatest night ever. But I'm gutted. But I have met Mel.
You know
times.
Mel, don't
I
you?
I know Mel, actually. Yeah, she is adorable.
She's a mega babe, and she's so cool. And I'm actually really intrigued to know about her greatest night ever. Apparently, I don't know it, and I'm quite offended because I'm not on this greatest night ever. Also, it's really nice to hear about some of your best friends' nights that you don't know about, and it sort of fills in the gaps of what makes them so special.
What do you think her greatest night ever is, then? Is it something maybe from her childhood?
I don't know, but I feel like it might be food related.
Oh, really?
I didn't realise she was such a foodie. And then she goes and comes and runner-up for bloody MasterChef. It's all a bit surprising right now. But I'm buzzing to have her in the studio, and I'm sorry that you can't be here.
Gutted.
But yeah, you go and get your spandex on. You go and do your spin class, Princess Julia, while I continue with our greatest night ever. She's skiving, everyone. Put that in the books.
Okay, got a dash.
Oh, my God. Well, really excited. And here we have Miss the Beautiful from the 90s, from the All Saints, food extraordinaire, Miss Melanie Blatt. Let me talk to you about our wonderful sponsor, Zap, the convenience delivery app which delivers drinks, snacks, essential groceries, over-the-counter medicines and much, much more in minutes 24/7. It is my absolute go-to whenever I'm in London. Mid-party, when you've run out of chilled champagne or tequila, or just simply want snacks and ice cream for your spontaneous movie night with the kids, Zap has you covered. So whether you're having the greatest night ever or a quiet night in, download Zap today to try for yourself. Miss Melanie Blatt.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome, Mel. How are you, babes?
I'm so good, thanks.
I'm really
excited to be here.
Mel, loads of people might not know this, but we are actually, well, some people might if they follow us on Instagram, but if they don't, lots of people don't know that we're actually very good friends in real life. Besties, some might say.
Besties, I would say, yes, definitely.
I would say, and I'm very lucky to say. Mm-hmm. Mel, for any listeners or anybody, I think there's two different sides to this story. But I'm quite interested to know, where did we actually cross paths for the first time? How did we meet?
At a party. And we were introduced
by a mutual, really good friend of ours who sadly now passed away, Ashley Ward, who was my makeup artist from like 20 years ago with the band. And she had been doing your makeup more recently. And I remember seeing her and her saying, I've been working with this girl. She's absolutely amazing. You will love her. I can't wait for you two to meet. And then we were all at the same party. And you were wearing a flowery dress. You had big flowers on your dress. And you had really short hair at the time. And we just hit it off immediately. We all went back to Ashley's afterwards, spent the night together, as we have done so on many occasions.
Yes.
And it was just love at first sight. It was amazing.
It was love at first sight. It really was. And yes, to mentioning of Ashley, who brought us together, who's sadly not with us. I can't believe you remember what I was wearing. You and your memory, and you remember what I was wearing and what haircut I have.
That's why my brain is a strange place.
Well, actually, the first time I met you was actually when I was about 12 years old, and I was at the beach premiere. And
I remember this story. Yeah.
And I was at the beach premiere, and I remember I was 12 because I was wearing a really dodgy cowboy hat and I had my belly button pierced, and I thought it was the coolest fucking thing ever. And I couldn't get into the VIP section. And I remember thinking, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio's in there, I've got to get in there. And my sister, thankfully, dragged me into the VIP and plumped me down next to you and Leonardo DiCaprio in the VIP section. I remember sitting there thinking, oh my God, that's Mel Blatt from All Saints. Oh my God, there's Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh my God, there's Mel Blatt. And I was absolutely starstruck at you. And I had pictures of you on my wall because obviously All Saints are major.
And I was going to say, and obviously I'm much older than you, which makes me feel sick.
No, you wasn't that much. You're not that much older than me.
It's fine, I can take it.
No, you was very young and very much in your prime, and you'd just done Pure Shores.
I actually remember all of us being at that party thinking, oh, this is boring. This is boring. Can you believe it?
See how the other side lives.
I know.
It was the most amazing night of my life. I got to meet you and Leonardo DiCaprio. So that's actually how we meet. But I mean, when I'm thinking about our friendship, we have had so many highlights in our journeys. And I certainly know, like, one of mine was travelling through on the Eastern Oriental Express. That was just a complete mind-blowing experience. Yeah. It's just magic,
that's
right?
That's definitely up there with one of my favourite things I've ever done, definitely, definitely. But that's the thing with us two. We're often at each other's best. I mean, most nights we end the night by saying, that was the best night ever. So it's hard to choose just one. Unfortunately, I've chosen one. That has nothing to do with you. But you're not even there.
That's what I want. I want to be enlightened, and I want to take the listeners on a journey where I'm not involved in, and just also feel completely authentic to your emotions on that night. So that's a gift in itself. Now I've come to the point in the podcast where I want to ask you, Melanie Blatt, what is your greatest night ever?
Are you ready for this? It's the night I met Prince.
Gag, I actually didn't know that.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's one of my favourite stories ever. Maybe you just weren't listening when I told you, because sometimes you just don't listen.
Might have been raving to that garage tune in the kitchen.
Yeah,
mate.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, that is... yeah, hands down, my greatest night ever. Because I'm like, Prince is just like the almighty to me. Since I was like about, well, whenever Purple Rain came out, that's when I sort of first noticed him. So ever since that time, he has been my number one. So it took me many years. And I was trying to remember what year it actually was, but it'd be easy to find out because basically it was when he was doing, he did like something like 31 nights at the O2 or something like that. It was like a long stint at the O2, and he had like, the stage was in the middle. And basically where it starts is that our first ever choreographer, an amazing man and friend called Phil Griffin, who he was the one that choreographed our Never Ever routine, became a director. So he ended up eventually directing Amy Winehouse's video, Back to Black.
Right.
He actually asked me to be in that video because it was very sort of Italian-y looking, like that like 60s kind of like thing. And I was just like, I'm not going to be an extra in someone's video. Are you mad? I definitely pretended that I was busy or something, but that's what I was thinking. Regret, obviously. We should have put the regrets of Mel's life. And then because of that video, Prince rang him and said, I want you to film my tour. eventually, now it's the tour and Phil's filming these 31 nights in at the O2. Phil asked me, would you like to come? I'm like that, oh my God, yes I would. So because he's in there with Prince, there was like a whole VIP section literally just in front of the stage with like cocktail, like tables and chairs, like, you know, like it was a bit of a, like a bar in front of the stage.
Oh my God, die.
So the whole show, I was obviously trying to catch Prince's eye, making like Darcy really stupid and like doing like mouthing all the lyrics and catching people's eye, look at me, everybody. And just being a fool. And I feel like Prince maybe might have looked my way a couple of times. In my head, he did anyway. But definitely some of the dancers I managed to get there, I was like, and they were like laughing at me because obviously I was like drunk. And then that was sort of the vibe I was in. Before the show starts, I need to rewind. Before the show starts, I arrive with Phil and he puts me in the green room. So I walk into the green room where everyone's sort of, you know, waiting. And
hang on, this is before...
I've gone back to the beginning.
Okay.
Yes, because I missed the beginning bit out because that's the quite important bit. So when I walk in, so I'm by myself, Phil has to go off. So I'm a little bit like my own in this green room. Jerry Hall's there, you know, it's like a proper green room with all these people and I'm on my own. So I'm sat in there for about 10, 15 minutes and no one's talking to me. And then the door opens, little head comes through. Amy Winehouse. So I see her from afar. Now, I don't really know her, but because I know we've got Phil in common, I feel like, you know, we're probably quite the same, really. Not too much the same, but, you know. And so I'm like, oh, Amy, come over here. So she comes over. I think she was with Blake at the time. I can't remember. And she was super shy as well. And I was like, you're all right. She's like, yeah. Then Phil comes in, and he's like, oh, yeah, and introduces us properly. And then Phil goes, you know, are you going to sing with Prince then to Amy? And he was like, no, I don't want to do it. Don't do it. I'm like, my mouth is like on the floor at this point. So then Phil's like, well, look, go and talk to me. He wants to talk to you. So I'm like that. Oh my God. And Phil's like that to me. Come on. I was like, what are you doing? So anyway, so I'm following behind Amy. And as we're walking, I'm going to Amy, pretend I'm your best friend. Pretend we've known each other for you. Please pretend. And she's like, ah. So we're now outside his dressing room. There's like maybe like 5 or 6 people, Amy including me, like just sort of in a sort of semicircle. Prince walks out. And I'm just like, my head has exploded like 10 times already at this point. It's just too much for me. I can't, but I'm just obviously like, I'm like, I'm just staring and all my dreams have come true. So he's like, are you sure you don't want to sing? She's like, nah. And he's like trying to convince her to sing. She's not having it. He's like, all right, fine. So everybody goes to leave through this door. Me and Amy are sort of the last ones to go through along with Prince. And this is my favourite thing that's ever happened to me and why it's the greatest night ever. Prince has opened the door. Amy's walked through and I've curled back to let Prince walk through and Prince has gone, after you. Yes,
diamonds and
Prince held the door open for me.
So wait, hang on, this is at the O2?
Yeah.
And so you've got your own little private area.
It's
where
like, you know, there's about maybe, you know, there's about 30 people in there, but I'm making sure that you can see me. And I don't remember where Amy was during that part. She might not have even bothered coming out. Like, she was, like, really not fast. So then the show ends, we all go backstage again. And then he was doing a after-show gig at the Indigo, which is around the corner in the O2, right. Like a little club. So I get in a car with Amy and her fella at the time, and just literally, just to drive around the corner. So we walk into the, and go through like the back.
Hang on, wait, you're getting driven from
one bit to the other bit, yeah.
Right, yeah, sure. Bougie bitch.
Anyway, so we arrive in the back door of the Indigo and I see all of Prince's band. I have had a few drinks at this point. So I've
confidence has grown.
In front of them, I'm like that. Oh my God, you guys were so amazing. Like, you were amazing. Like the horn player, you were amazing. You were amazing. I loved what you did. You were amazing. I go to walk off. Totally did not clock until I started to walk away. That Prince was standing there as well. I didn't tell him he was amazing.
Oh, God.
Just the band. So that is my greatest night ever.
Oh, my God. Okay, we need to backtrack because I actually do need to know everything about Prince. What was he wearing?
Do you know what? I don't even remember.
Was it purple?
Really I'm going to say
blousy.
Yes. Not blousy. It was such a surreal moment when there's not many people I get starstruck, but well, only like TV celebrities, like, you know, Minty from EastEnders, people like that.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't know what I was thinking. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
it's
like a dream. It was just like a dream. So, I don't really remember details about it. I remember making him full of myself. I remember him opening the door for me. And that's pretty much it.
No, but it's still giving me tingles because I actually know how much you love Prince. Exactly. And I can't believe you haven't shared this moment with me before. And I'm actually really glad because now we're doing this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What was the set like?
Well, yeah, so it was, I mean, there was definitely, I never lost interest in him. I just always kept listening to the same albums, but I wasn't as up to date with his newer stuff. So when he did play a newer song, I was a little bit like, wandering eyes, where am I?
Yeah, just
now?
Give the people what they want, Prince.
Just keep smiling at them, trying to make eye contact with anyone on stage. And then, but then as soon as a big tune come on, let's say Kiss or something like that. And actually, one thing I do remember, I've got a problem in general with remembering words to my own songs that I've sung for the past 25 years. And so singing other people's songs, pretty much the same thing. So I'm trying to like, and these are songs I've listened to a million times in my head. So I'm trying to like show them that I know all the words, but still getting them wrong. So, you know.
What was the atmosphere like? Because this wasn't the 80s. This wasn't the 90s. This was more recent.
Yeah.
And what was the vibe like?
I definitely felt like I was the only one losing my mind being there. I mean, like I said, like when I first walked into the green room.
People are too cool, man.
I mainly remember Jerry Hall, but I suppose like in that room would have been people that maybe knew him quite well. So I tell you what, the main thing that I felt was alone, like in my
in your own experience,
you know, like and then when we were outside the dressing room again, a little bit imposter syndrome as well, like I shouldn't be here, I am blagging this right now, like Prince has no idea. Prince is to come out of his dressing room to talk to Amy Winehouse and there's like another six people with him, including me. He's probably thinking, who the fuck are these people? But he must have thought it was a strange. I know if I'd have come out of my dressing room to talk to somebody and then there were like all these people with them that I didn't know, I'd have probably, and still obviously staring very hard at him. I definitely was staring.
I think that's what Prince was doing at the time because he was kind of at the point of career because I think he had changed his name and then come back. So he'd obviously, you know, had this identity sort of thing and then came back to do these gigs. And it was that time when he was just going around London doing pop-up gigs, wasn't he? He was literally turning up places with his band. Yeah,
I'm trying to think if that's the time when he opened for a Julia McDonald show or something.
He did, which I missed.
I don't know. I should actually find out. I could actually just Google it right now.
No. We don't need to Google. We like the memories. We like the hazy memories here.
That's all you get from me. Yeah.
What do you remember that's like the stage production? Do you remember what it actually looked like?
So I feel like it was, and I might be wrong here, I've got a feeling it was like, might have been his symbol.
The
shape of his symbol.
Yes.
He was moving around the stage, so that's probably why I don't really have like a proper focus memory because I wasn't, my eyes went on him the whole time.
Yeah, because he actually really just loves the idea of sort of being the lead man and then also blending in with his band, which is what is so fucking cool about Prince.
Yeah.
Was there anyone you would wish you had taken with you to the Prince gig?
Yes, definitely like eyewitnesses. Just so that I had proof that this definitely did happen and this isn't just like a fever dream.
That's my next question.
But I do. Phil was there. His partner, Paul. I would have loved you to have been there.
Oh, me too. And what about Shaz?
She's not that bothered about Prince. I know. She can appreciate him, you know, but like not. Her one's New Kids on the Block. That's her. best guys.
Lol. So hang on, you're telling me there is not one photo evidence of this night? Well, you're backstage, you're probably not really allowed to have photos.
And again, referring back to my age, I don't think my camera had a phone on it. My phone had a camera on it back in those days.
Yeah, it wasn't that phone mad, was it? And was he the sort of person to be like kind of banned phones at gigs?
I don't think so. But we weren't in that era of filming stuff. It just wasn't. You just didn't have your phone in your hand in those days.
Right.
And I definitely would never have asked for a picture. I wouldn't have dared ask for a picture.
No.
So, yeah, no, there's no photo evidence.
And at the time, did you actually realise, like, once you came down, did you actually realise what a one-off chance experience it was meeting Prince?
Like, yeah, absolutely, I did. Like, it's one of my most cherished moments. And it wasn't even, like, really, like I said, supposed to happen to me. Like, I was just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I'm sure there was a part of me that after that moment, I would have thought, there would have been like the fantasies bit of my brain thinking, did he notice me? Is he falling in love with me now that he got a glimpse of me? Sat in this time, he writing as for those tough, like half a minute. He must have fallen in love with me by then, you know. Those fantasies. But obviously, if anything, he's just like, who's that weirdo? Like smiling at me and like singing the wrong words, staring at me, trying to catch my eye on stage.
Listen, you know, we are the weirdos, mister. Yes. You know, like I think that's...
That's what brought us together.
I think that's what brought you together. Look, do you have any regrets about what happened when you met him? Would you change anything, any part of the meeting or anything?
Probably when I congratulated his whole band and didn't even see him standing there until I walked off and didn't say anything to him. That bit, I would have, maybe that was probably my opportunity to tell him how much I loved him. But at the same time, maybe that would make me more memorable to him because I would be that chick that congratulated all his band except for him. I hope he liked it.
He probably
found it funny, hopefully.
I feel like he had that sort of humour, you know, and like... Anytime I've watched an interview of him and stuff, he's cheeky as hell. You know, he liked that kind of flattery. He was never really good with flattery, considering he was so epic. Mm. You know, he wasn't.
Well,
really...
doesn't need it, does he? Because he knows he's good.
Exactly. But you know, he battled with his own demons as well. Mm. He was the most human person as well, which is just even more endearing and beautiful. Who was jealous that you met him? Me. But at the time, who was jealous?
Yeah, probably my auntie Karen. But actually, at that time, I wasn't having the greatest time, actually, which, you know, goes back to when I met you. And it was Ashley that sort of... I'd been in quite a bad place and not a great relationship for, you know, 8 or 9 years. And I sort of didn't really have many friends left. I wasn't talking to the band, the girls at the time. It was just literally me. I had one friend, Martin, and a couple of others, but I wasn't going out. I didn't do anything. Do you know what I mean? I definitely had like, they were the like, you know, the forgotten years. And then meeting you, it just definitely changed my life. You introduced me to so many of my now such good friends and, you know, changed me and, you know, just changed the trajectory of my life and just made me a much happier person.
The Q-Fairy. The Q-Fairy. Shake that hat. For me, like the ultimate, if he was still here, you know, and the way he was going with his career, like I would just absolutely crave, because I'm such a huge Prince fan and huge All Saints fan, with the harmonies and the live band and stuff like that. All Saints Prince collaboration.
Well, that is just like, would have been the all time. Although, I don't know how I would have felt being in the studio with him. I don't know if I'd have been able to even sing a note. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the nerves.
The nerves would have just got the better of me, I think.
I've spoke to a few musicians that have worked with Prince before and, you know, definitely the nerves of it. Like Rita, who did a song with him, she said he just brought it out in her. He's just such an earthy musician where he would just be like kind of hold himself down until it came to
that. Yeah, he's a quiet, unassuming guy. I'm assuming, like, bits and bobs I've heard about him. I mean, he's not a chatty guy, is he? And maybe behind closed doors, who knows?
In bed.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think he talks with his willy in bed.
How Oh my God. When did you first start loving Prince? Like, obviously from, like, Purple Rain.
Definitely Purple Rain, yeah. And it wasn't even so much the song Purple Rain, like, because I was in love with him too. Like, I was attracted to that man.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't Prince, I wouldn't be attracted to any other man that looked like that or dressed like that.
He's just asexual, isn't he?
It's just him.
He just gives off sex.
Whatever it is, yeah. And from a young age, I was attracted to that. So that's weird.
No, but it's not weird. It's actually the most sort of amazing thing ever.
Well,
because
some kids were attracted to Big Bird. So, like, you've got to see it like that. And so, yeah, so, from a young age. And I remember, like, all throughout my life, there's loads of bits that have sort of been punctuated by Prince moments. Like, I remember when my dad tried, when Under the Cherry Moon came out, and I was between 12 or 13 at the time, and I was desperate to see this film. And my dad took, it was a 15 or something, my dad took me to the cinema and demanded that they let me in to see it, because he was my dad, and he said it was okay, and they, like, refused to let me in.
Libby.
And then that was another one of those films that I got on, like, I rented from, like, the news agents. And Blockbusters wasn't even invented in those days. So I rented it from the news agents.
Exposing your age right now.
I rented, and it never got returned. That was, I kept that one. And I would watch it over
one for the
over
bank.
And over and over again, yeah. My little 12-year-old bank.
You do look back and you think, wow, thank God for, like, artists like Prince to open doors and allow people and artists to be themselves.
Yeah.
And feel, you know, empowered and being sexy, mm-hmm. and changing what sexy is, you know, not just by dancing on stage in a skirt and learning how to twerk, mm-hmm. like, which is very much what it is now. Mm. But Prince pretty much did what the fuck he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He wanted to wear high heels. He jumped off his speakers. That was his statement move. You know, he made love to his guitar. There was this kind
and
of
nobody had ever, like, really, like, that was, like, a first for a lot of people.
Oh, my God,
and
it was next level.
And for him to then become, like, quite a mainstream, one of the main artists of the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, it's amazing. It's amazing that he managed to, like, and he did it his way. He never,
yeah, because he wasn't really accepted before, like, Purple Rain. I mean, he got an Oscar for that. And, you know, I think a young black man who talks about sex.
Wears knickers.
And heels. Like, yeah. You don't. Thank God for his bolshiness. Thank God for his bravery, because it really did open doors for so many artists.
And also it goes to show the power of music, because at the end of the day, if someone likes your tune, it doesn't matter what you look like, people are still going to like it.
Yeah, it really does. And obviously, like, distraught, but, like, how did it personally affect you when we lost him?
It was really a really hard time. I remember when it, like, the tweets and stuff started and the news started filtering through, and a few people had called me because they knew I'd feel, and I was just like, it's not true. I think TMZ had started, like, put something out there, and I was actually in the pub with Nick from my band at the time, and she was like, they're saying he's dead. I'm like, no, he's not. I refused to believe it until finally it was, like, the official news. And I was just started crying in the pub, orbs, but it felt like, you know, I'd lost a loved one, really, because that's how much I loved him.
Yeah.
And I'm still not over it now. I'm still not over it now.
No,
I can't
believe
he's not there, because, you know, obviously he was sort of notoriously private anyway. So it's not like he's in your consciousness all the time. So even though he's dead, is he? You know what I mean? It's not like you don't feel his presence, because I'm still listening to his music. I still follow everything Prince related on Instagram. So,
but it does make a difference, because you have had that moment with him.
When I thought I was going to marry him, so that was like, well, now what am I supposed to do? Literally, I was like, oh, well, that's that dream dead. Then I thought he was going to be mine.
Yeah, I mean, there is just a huge, huge hole in the shape of Prince, actually, because he wasn't done, and he was really still going around doing these amazing gigs. And
also to find out, you know, afterwards that he was on, addicted to painkillers, and he was in so much pain from all the jumping off the speakers and all that.
And landing just, in high heels, which we obviously fucking love him more for.
Well, you're going to have that problem soon, so
oh, God, yeah, I'm going to have to address that problem pretty fucking soon, to be honest. It's creeping up. Prince syndrome. Mm. Okay, that was properly amazing, actually. I feel like you've created that night for me, and I feel like I am personally there, and I hope you guys listening do too. Right, so we've come to the point in my podcast where I like to ask all my guests the same question. Mel, what are you manifesting right now?
I think as far as manifesting, I just, it's kind of always the same thing. There's no particular one thing. I just happiness, overall happiness for me, my mates and my family. And that's sort of all that I need in my life. For me to be happy, it could take anything, you know. It'd be nice to fall in love. But then I'm not manifesting for a guy to come or anything. That's not really part of my manifestation. It is literally just happiness, just have good times.
That's beautiful. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of manifesting that constantly as well.
Well, you're manifesting a man for me all the time.
Yeah.
We know that.
all the time.
It's not working,
I just
Jamie.
Want you to get creme brulee. sorry. At the moment, I'm actually manifesting. I've just done something that's involved singing, and I would really like to do something a bit more with the acting, singing thing.
I would love to. I will manifest that for you as well, because I would love to see you sing more, because I love your voice.
Yeah, and it's definitely unlocked something for me, and it was quite therapeutic, the whole thing, finding my voice. So maybe like playing a singer would be like ideal, you know? Amy Winehouse.
Madonna.
Yeah, someone says that someone's already doing that.
Yeah, but I've kind of missed that boat. You could do like an off-Broadway situation, you know, like a B movie with Jamie Winston home
so
video.
I'm so fucking over B movies. I'm ready for the big time, guys.
Hollywood, come on.
Oh my God, Melanie, thank you so much. That was so fun.
And it was so nice to be able to like take myself back to that night as well.
I'm glad. It was amazing. And we've all been there now. And thank you for sharing that, your greatest night ever, with me and everyone listening. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jamie Winstone's Greatest Night Ever has been delivered to you by Zap, the on-demand convenience delivery app. My co-host and iconic sister-in-arms is Princess Julia. The series was created and produced by my partner in crime, Mr. Rupert Fowler. Our original artwork is by cartoon extraordinaire Jamie Hewlett. And our theme music is by the cosmically major Remy Mazette. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. I'm Jamie Winstone, and this has been My Greatest Night Ever.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.